Hey everybody, welcome back to the February 23rd edition of Project 4-4. My name is Mark Ashton. I'm the lead pastor at Christ Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska. And today you read parts of Leviticus 5, 6, 7, 22, 23, Numbers 28, Deuteronomy 21, etc. Kind of a mishmash of passages, but they're concluding our discussion on the idea of offerings in the Old Testament. Now before I get into the actual offering itself, let me ask you a question. Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever stolen anything? In one of my episodes in my life that I'm less proud of during my high school years, I actually stole some things. What I stole with a couple of my buddies was street signs. Most famously, a street sign of Mark Avenue and Ashton Court, which I proudly displayed in my dorm room for quite a while. And, you know, there's some guilt that goes along with that. You know, the offering that we talked about today is called the guilt offering. Now, we've talked about four other kinds of offerings, and the guilt offering is oftentimes confused with the sin offering, but there are some key differences that are involved there. Certainly, there's some overlapping between these two, just as there's points of similarity on all of the sacrifices. But the most critical point of difference here falls upon the fact that the guilt offering is appropriate whenever the issue of restitution is in play. That is, if you've ever stolen anything, if you've broken anything, if you've hurt something in such a way that you need to repay the person that you stole that from. So that fine is the emphasis. And the idea here in Leviticus is that if you take anything that needs restitution, you are to repay not only the amount, but that amount plus 20% whenever your offering is given. When I first ran into this passage when I was a college student at the University of Illinois, I thought immediately of those street signs that I had stolen while I was in high school. And wanting to be a biblical person, I went back to the cities where I stole the street signs from. I asked them how much a street sign cost, and I paid them back for it plus 20%. Now, the interesting thing was, I was a little bit scared. Like, maybe they'll press charges if they find out that I was a thief. But the clerk that I was talking to wasn't interested in pressing charges at all. I remember she turned to a co-worker, don't remember her name, but the co-worker said, "Hey, Margaret, check this out. This young man is actually paying us back for something that he stole." And they asked me why, and I told them the story of reading from the book of Leviticus, and they were absolutely floored. Well, I think that's what happens when honest people make restitution, and the offering that was the guilt offering was designed as a way of saying, "I'm sorry to God, please forgive me," but also where restitution was necessary. A few more special offerings mentioned today deal with the frequency of the offerings, the Sabbath offering, the monthly offerings. Why were these burnt offerings important? Well, because the primary goal of each of these offerings is worship. It's worship. And the message of worship is conveyed over and over that God is worthy of our worship. In a day and age which most people come to church in order to have their needs met, it's a healthy reminder that God's idea is that when we come to church, the primary goal is worshiping Him. Our sweet-smelling offerings aren't burned up on the altar, but our prayers and our hymns, the song we sing, the praises that we sing, the attitude of our hearts, the way we treat people, all of those are a sweet-smelling savor to God. So next Sunday, when you come to church, remember the purpose of the sacrifices to worship God, and remember the purpose of your church attendance to worship God as well. Now, before we leave the subject of sacrifices, I want to mention just a few more things. One of them involves the cost of these sacrifices. We noted a while ago that there were some economic options in mandatory sin offerings. If you were poor, or if you were very poor, you could make offerings of a smaller amount. But if you think about how many offerings there were that were invariably brought, one of the things that we learn is no matter what your economic situation, offerings were costly. Very costly, as a matter of fact. Now, the giving of all of these instructions, of all of these offerings that were always given time and time again would leave you with a picture of an awful lot of offerings that would be being offered at the tabernacle at this point in Israel's history. Now, John Soper, who's the guy that set up these devotions originally, did some calculating, and he found out this. He said every year, the priests were going to have to sacrifice a minimum of 113 bulls, 32 rams, 1,086 lambs, and more than a ton of flour and 1,000 bottles of oil and wine. And that doesn't even account for any individual sin and guilt offerings or voluntary grain and fellowship offerings. Why would this be reassuring? Because if God expects all these offerings, then he must be planning a very prosperous future for the people of Israel, just like he has a prosperous future for you. But this comes at a cost, and worship always comes at a cost. It may cost you hours, it may cost you in tithe dollars, but when we do something that's costly, we show God that he's valuable and that we honor him. May we honor God in all things as we study his word every day and as we grow deeply and more connected to him. God bless everybody.